Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
It's about that time for us to welcome you to Police and You for this week. Today being Thursday, it's actually the ninth day in the month of March in the year 2023 and not 1962. Turn my attention and say good afternoon to my good friend, Sergeant J.C. Small. Good afternoon.
Listening to you, my brother, and good evening, Trinidad and Tobago.
Hey, fella. Last evening was a trip, man.
Yes, it was really, really, really a wonderful experience.
Yeah, man. Thoroughly enjoyed you being there with us, hanging out, you know, getting acquainted with the advertising world and so forth. As you know, for those of you who don't know. Of course, most definitely, man. Now, I had some conflicting reports and information as to what we was going to chat about today. But a couple issues burning, right? One, the cliffhanger we left last year, the solving of cases and what the police consider to be a case closed, a case solved. And two, the school violence, boy. The school violence seems to be a talk of the tongue right now, boy. It's bad. Yes. Now, someone said to me a few days ago, there's like, Davey, not a few days, yesterday actually, I had a guest in the studio, Rhea Gomez Bain, and she was saying to me, she's a guidance officer at a secondary school, she was saying to me that, you know, is it that the violence now rearing its ugly head? Or is it that because of social media and everybody has a device, we are now able to see the violence in real time?
Yes, sir.
So, what are your thoughts on the matter?
Yes, so in relation to, you know, the conversation from the spin-off from last night, where you was asking about assault as a solved crime, it means that, so the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service categorizes crimes. So we have like serious reported crimes that would be like murder, rape, and them kind of serious offenses. Mm. We have like minor crimes. So for example, possession of marijuana could be, you know, would be classified as a minor crime. Then we have minor offenses, and then we have traffic offenses. So in terms of a crime, you know, what is a crime?
Mm-hmm.
Crime is an act of omission, you know, or, you know, where a person breaches the law, and then, you know, the police now have a certain power that vested to them in any law in terms of responding to treating the crimes. So when a person commits a crime, it can be any crime. And, you know, and when they look at a crime too, it had the something called the actus reus, meaning
the actus reus,
right? Yeah, which means the act itself and the mens rea, meaning the other intention to commit that particular offense. So once it is satisfied that this person, you know, commit this crime and the ingredients were met and so on to determine that it was in fact a crime, and the police now would have done their investigations and probably have sufficient evidence to be able to charge somebody or put them before the court. And you know, that is how, and then in terms, that is one aspect in terms of solving crime. But then a crime could be self, for example, a house breaking. A man do a breaking, and then the police investigate, do the investigation. They went and they use the crime scene experts to gather evidence and so on. And we find workable prints, and we are able to identify that this person may have committed this crime because they were present. And why they were present, we saw their fingerprints on the crime scene. It means that crime is now a solved crime. So although somebody wasn't arrested as yet, it means that the police was able to have some level of closure in terms of the matter itself. So, you know, you could look at it in different ways, but in terms of the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service, once it is, we have the sufficient evidence to be able to charge somebody or to be able to identify, to bring some level of closure to investigation in terms of, you know, what our information or what the evidence will lead to. It means that, you know, that is how we consider it a self-crime. So it could range from murder, you know, straight to a house breaking and larceny, you know, as I say, crimes are categorized. You know, as I mentioned, just to jump a little bit, school violence. And, you know, to respond to that statement that there's nothing new, but because of social media, you know, I want to say that, you know, to be honest, when I went to school probably about 20, more than 20 years ago, primary school, junior secondary school, senior secondary school, it really did have fights. and we really didn't have phones at that time. But I find now, in terms of the behavior of the children, it's like everybody have a short fuse. And to me, it wasn't so back then. People had a little more tolerance in terms of somebody telling something, and you don't have to resort to physical violence to solve it. You can know everything sometimes. We run a race to fix something. A man says something, and they say, well, let me run a race. You know, let me go, we just call it hand strength. I mean, we did different things back then to, you know, treat with situations. But I find now people real, as we just say, thin skin. So whether it's children, adults, you know, generally society real thin skin in these wrongs. And you know what we see in the school, petty issues. Sometimes, you know, you want to know how these school children resort into this violence. And when they hear the kind of things that they're fighting for, to be honest, sometimes you're hearing, girl, if it's young ladies, you're hearing they're fighting over some fella, or some fellas fighting over some young lady. And when you look at the type of issues that surround these school children, or you wondering, like, where this influence coming from? Mm. And then you really have to look at now the social media. Back then, we didn't have the type of access to social media as now. So, you know, there's a lot of things that influencing the youngsters' behavior, but it's equally important, you know, when we meet up in any situation as adults, to educate them on the right way to behave. Because, you see a lot of adults when they see these fights, sometimes parents come into somebody tell a child something or somebody hit the child, they want to come in school in this kind of badge and way to be physical with other children. And you know, that is not the way. That is absolutely not the way. I stand against all forms of violence. So I am saying that we need to have more programs in the schools, whether it's, you know, through different agencies to do things like conflict resolution and to show these children that violence cannot be the only resort in terms of trying to trash out any issue.
All right.
You know?
All right. Two things. One, let's talk about the solving of crime. I heard you with that. For me, to have a crime solved where I can say we can close this case, is to successfully prosecute someone for that. Because you have insufficient evidence, holding somebody before the courts, taking them before the courts, you may have enough evidence to arrest, but you can't secure a conviction. Or the person when they go through the courts and the lawyers and them get involved and everybody start talking, they recognize you had the wrong man. So the person is acquitted at a go, there wasn't enough evidence to convict them. So for me, the solving of that crime would end when a conviction is secured, because then we can now say, well, all right, that person was held, they were brought before the courts, they were dealt with, and in no way, it wasn't them, it's a wrap. But once that person comes out on some technicality or something happens and there is no way to prove them any wrong, then we still don't know who committed the crime. That's me. That's one. So that's what I said to you. I look at it differently. Bring them before the courts, successfully prosecute them, and then case closed. Let's take this call. Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good afternoon.
You know, this is a very interesting topic. Very, very. But we have to, it is like the doctors in this country. We treat the symptom and not the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Look carefully and look at the geographical areas these things are happening. Look at the schools in which it is happening. And then you will understand a lot of things in this country. And thank God for social media, a lot of things is being exposed. Or else, may God bless, we would never know anything that is happening in this country. Because our mainstream media are the most dangerous of the people here. They project nothing, they say nothing, they show nothing. Thank God for that. If we're going to do a little research into these school children and do the research in such a way, find out where they're coming from, the village and the area they're coming from, the environment in which they're coming from, the whole ethnical background of that whole thing, and you would realize that nobody in the world was born with anything. It was provided to you by your environment. And we have to be careful. You have to, and we must blame our parents for this. It is very, look at it carefully. What is happening? Why this is happening? Is anybody doing any research? There's so much money going into the Ministry of Education. I mean, look at the whole educational system. Look at the denominational schools in this country. and look at the government schools in this country. Why don't we start doing a research into that? They're all teachers, came out of training college with highly academically qualified teachers. Why it is in the denominational schools are entirely different to the government school. And added to that, with the passes there, which was 96% coming from the denominational schools and 4% coming from the government school, which is 111 schools. I can go on like this and start bringing it back from 56 to the present time. We have to start defining education in this country the same way we have to start defining culture in this country and so many other things. Talk is cheap until we have to pick a lawyer. You see, everybody could pick up the phone, call you and talk and express it. Everybody could criticize and condemn. How many people you hear expressing any solution to this problem? How many people? To say, well, we can try this. We can try this. Why don't we try this? Do a pilot project and see what happens. You, how many people? We criticize, and we condemn. Take a note of that. I thank you, my brother.
Sergeant, you want to respond to this before I make my comments?
Well, I mean, he said a lot, and he was comparing the denominational schools in terms of, and the government schools. You know, I just want to say, no matter which environment you're in, the denominational school have codes of conduct, and you know, you could look at a lot of factors that influence the behavior and the environment. You know, but I don't want to, you know, jump into that comparison. You know, because I visit both the denominational schools and the government schools, and to be honest, they all have some level of issues at some stage, and it's just how you treat with it and how the parents come together and willing to work with the school. You know, because some schools you have the PTA very active, and you know, in the schools where you have the active PTA, you find the behavior of the children totally different because their parents, you know, having that input, that in that direct involvement in what happening with the children in schools. I saw in some schools where you have the past students and them, the student girls and them coming together to work with the school. You know, you really see, I look at plenty of things that make a difference in different schools, and there's a lot of factors to consider. But one strong thing that stands out to me is the involvement of the parents and how they support their own children in terms of activities and things that are happening in the school and the children's behavior in the school and that kind of thing.
All right.
You know? And I want to disagree with you in terms of that comment about a self-crime.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the police will do their part based on the evidence, based on what they have, whether it's fingerprints and, you know, whether it's true mm-hmm. experts be able to present a solid case before the court. But, you know, in terms of the determination of a matter, the police don't have the final say.
Well,
but that
true.
Doesn't mean
that they didn't solve the crime.
You should say a crime itself. If it is a crime happened, sometimes a person could confess that commit a crime too. And if it is the person confess and they say, well, look, I really did commit this crime, and they come. Because we have a lot of people who go on before the court and plead guilty, but we're not waiting to see the crime solved. From the moment we get the information or have the evidence to prove
case closed.
This crime, we consider it a self-crime. In terms of what happened before the court, that is totally out of the police hands. That is more for the judiciary to determine and that kind of thing. But the final say is not up to the police. We are to present our case in terms of, you know, the threshold to meet the fact that you know, this crime was committed, and these are the ingredients to prove that this crime was committed.
Mm.
I mean, the police wants to do a part. As I say, the court have the final say in terms of determining that matter, and even what type of penalties based on the law, based on what the law caters for that a criminal should face.
But what kind of moral? I mean, I have a caller here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from Durbassa Trace. You know, I was a teacher in the primary system. I take the view that a criminal in the primary system is not going to stop unless he stops. Now, we're not talking about on a one occasion somebody fire a hand at somebody. It would be rare if that didn't happen. You would get that, right? Even in my time in the 60s, somebody would fire a cuff and so on. But what we have now is downright criminal behavior being excused and hidden, and, you know, all kinds of explanations and counter solutions and all kinds of excuses being offered. I think that if someone has passed some of the thresholds that we have clearly seen by repeat offending and by the type of what offenses and so on, things you can't do on the street, adult to adult or child to adult to child and whatnot. And even we had recently a parent going into a school to find out something and being assaulted by students. So clearly we have to treat criminals like criminals, and people would ask, where would you put them? Put them out of the school and then find out where they go. You cannot have criminals in school because you have nowhere else to put them. The jail is overflowing. Can we put those people in schools? You know, if you have criminals in schools, you need to move them out. That's my position. I would like to hear a law enforcement view on that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Now, that's the next issue I wanted to raise with you, Sergeant Small. In terms of parents and adults coming in the school, there was a video, an alleged member of the Trinidad and Tobago Defense Force. This individual came, probably some nephew or niece or whatever, daughter going to the school. And we see this student verbally assaulting this big woman. She got so, I mean, the police may not appreciate vigilante justice, and rightfully so. It is not the law of the land. It's not we taking the law into our own hands. That should not be accepted. However, when you see a video surface where your 13, 14-year-old child going to school and the kind of licks that child get from another student or other students that can be identified, you get there. I mean, I get emotional because I am a father of two. How can we treat with that? When you're looking at as Dorbasa say, when you're looking at a boy who is 16, 15, and squaring off with an adult, and given the opportunity, they will bust that, the bust in your face. They're picking up something to, they're going to put you in the hospital. But if you attack them and arrest them down first, you are held to pay. But these youths are downright out of control. And when they step to an adult and they damage your child, boy, and then you're watching this and them laughing, you know. Sergeant Small, these schools make up communities. Tell me. Before you hold your thought, if you wish, I'll have a call. It's up to you. You want to go through the thought or shall we take the call? All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah. I step out a while out of the car and I came back and I heard the guy talking about the international schools. Now, the thing about it, let us face the facts. Be real. Parenting is the bottom line responsibility. Look, I went to pick up my two sons by high school just now. Right, they're going to a government secondary high school. But one of the better ones. And when we went there, I saw two boys and three girls walking past my car. Busy. The smallest. Well, I mean, they look at the wrong phone once. My boys are in phone 4 months. Right? And then I saw them coming back down and then one across straight from that car. So I said to myself, wait now. If you see how they're moving and carrying out, when you want a little boy passing the car, you watch that carrying away. But you can see those are children after school, they have no direction because at the end of the day, when school is over, if I don't go for my sons and them, they don't want to take a maxi. It's no standing up, no way, no tongue, no climbing. You have to give me a call when you leave the school. I track you when they visit Daddy, I visit Vando, and we are coming up there. So at the end of the day, it's like, they can see these children, they're just walking, you know. It's one of the better schools, but you know, in every, no matter how best our principal and the authorities try, we have to do our part. At the end of the day, I mean, given Jackie, the commercial schools are the cream of the parental support. Everybody there, right, you know? But daddy, the parents understand what it is like managing children, and they put all the efforts into it. And that is where we are. I mean, how are we going to? We can't stop nobody from making children. You know? You just going and having a child, and the child you are prepared to make the sacrifice to bring that child up in the way it should be or guide him. And you just put pressure on society. What do we do with a kid like that? We are no lawyer to parents say, well, if you can't see for a child, don't make one. And I mean, it's sad, and according to you, I said, yeah, a partner, I remember a long time, when you hear your mother and father coming in school, if they give you a letter to carry home, you shaking out of your boots.
Yeah, boy.
Now these children are attacking, if they see a parent, like, if you see a boy parent coming in school, like, you went afraid and the parent coming in school, you shaking like a leaf. Now them standing up and them looking you down on a parent, you a business, a partner, mind you get you in screen, boss man at school, when you thought, well, before that daddy come and I come and they go in the war. Before you have to enter the gate, I forgot to come out bottle and bust you in screen in the car. You know what you have to do? Just get out with the child everything and take all the child out of the school.
No, you understand what we're saying, Sergeant?
So here at the end of the day, if them fella here, I have in my manner, the way I want to deal with it, right? If you want to feel you can take up a weapon, a missile, and tell people to attack people, partner, deal with you like a big man, because that is the truth. What else you going to do? With kid gloves and say, well, boy, I saw you, well, know what you doing. And he tell himself, he ain't care what business, but nobody. So they need to get some, I mean, they need to put, you know, that come like the women that who are challenged to go by the court to collect maintenance money and all these cases bundled together. They need to separate this, put us in a special court and school, a special court for school violence, to get out the Ministry of Social Development, tying everything together, to get out the parents. And put aside and separate these women that are suffered by these courts. Because all that connect up with it, with the lack of men who refuse, if that those who run in a little jam, okay, afford, and that those who deliberately just feel they're using each other as a pawn and fighting the woman, and indirectly fighting society. Look to our list, and the point came across, right?
All right, Sergeant Small.
Yes, so so many things were said.
Well, let's go back a bit to the part. Let's go back to the part with adults coming in the school and dealing with children.
Why I'm not in support of that at all? When it is these children do anything, and whether you know if they commit offences in terms of they assaulting people and all these things that they're doing, I mean, the police have to take the report and they have to, if it is. There's the information, if it is the, you know, there's the evidence, they have to take action for these kind of things. The schools also have the code of conduct that they must abide by in terms of the Ministry of Education. And when children have extreme behavioral issues and it's repeated, they can go on extended suspension and probably expulsion. And, you know, when these things happen, the student support services, which comprises the school social workers, the guidance officers, they have this LEC program, Learning Enhancement Center, where they you know, they do more targeted programs with these individuals, and they transition probably into other organizations like Silverall, and you know, it had different things that are done. But when people commit offenses, rather than parents taking it into their hands to try to treat with it, they have to let the police, you know, take action. And they have to be willing to follow through, you know, once the police take action. But they are not to go and try to engage these children and stoop to the level. You ever hear this saying, they can't fight fire with fire? And that's just the case, because I saw a situation just probably last year where Maximan, a group of children, because I remember it's hundreds of children, so sometimes they're moving as a little crew. You know, they tell this Maximan that they beat up this Maximan and he was hospitalized and whatever. So although you might feel you could go and engage them, and you know it's really not good to stoop to the level and put yourself in a position to jeopardize your safety and probably even their safety. The best thing to do in that situation like that is to, you know, contact the police and have the police, even have the school security, they have their rules too, and let everybody play their role effectively than we trying to take the matter into our own hands. You know,
I am exhausted, you know.
Some of the things that we did here in Central Division, and you know, I want to say, you know, big up to the officers of the community policing section in particular, and you know, to all police officers, because you know, every one of us have a responsibility to ensure safety and security in the nation, and you know, we have mandates to do patrols and so on, but more so, we would have engaged schools in a proactive manner. So, sometimes, when it like, probably in about 2017, we saw a situation where we was starting to have some school violence in Central. And I know like Randall Fields and Fathers Association,
yes,
we came together.
Yes.
We established an education multi-sector committee. And that committee that we set up, incorporated people from the prison service, people from the legal advisory unit. So we had duty council attorneys being a part of that, the US Embassy been a part, the student support services, all the entities you can think about, with plenty of stakeholders, including NGOs, faith-based organizations, and we started doing some caravans just to educate the children about the laws of Trinidad and Tobago. That is one. And it's easy to tell somebody, don't do something, but what is the alternatives? We started to show them that, well, look at excellent sports, excellent spoken word. in arts, in theater, so many different things that you could do to channel your energies and to choose in a life of crime and violence. So, you know, when we started our approach, we realized some schools needed a further targeted approach. And, you know, we in the library settings, we were able to identify children within the school, you know, through the involvement and support of their parents also, because we had the NPTA involved and, the, you know, the school's PTA itself. Mm. And we were able to really go deeper and realize that it had deeper line issues. Some of the little spillover from what was happening in some of the community violence was spilling over into the school. And we realized, you know, it's really a deeper, and it's important when they're doing any type of intervention to try to identify the root causes. Where's the root cause? Sometimes you realize it's probably a domestic situation in the household. It's probably children being influenced by a gang. It's so many different factors. But we realize the importance of going deep to make sure that we identify the root causes to solve these problems in a meaningful way and bring about a better impact or better situation, you know?
I'm happy to hear that. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, David. Good afternoon, Mr. Small. Now, I agree with you, Mr. Small, that, you know, advocating the whole question of parent involvement, it's a painful thing, eh? It's a painful thing when a parent, you know, you as a parent send your child to school, and then a child from a home that is not being properly supervised and so on, and whose intentions are to come to school is to come to school and fight, hit or stab your son, you have to wait on the police, because the consequence in Trinidad, as you're well aware, is very, very slow. Now, I would want to suggest, especially from a police perspective, do you all give any advice to the ministry in relation to having additional strength, not only police service, but a group under the security framework to deal with violence in school, and not really the police, because police overwhelm. I remember Mr. Jacob made the point that people are taking the law into their own hands because of the slowness of the police. And I could understand that, you know. I could understand that, but I really think, Mr. Small, that police are overwhelmed with the whole question of state of crime, and to deal with schools separately, there are two things I want to advise. Either you will advise the minister to let people who continuously enter violence be charged as an adult. Because the question of schooling, they're not learning, the grade is not good, and I don't think teachers are not like long time. So my suggestion, sir, is that you all have to make recommendation to the ministry where you could have a parallel group of officers to deal specifically with school violence and give them the power to act. Other than that, we'll be having this conversation as we have been for so much years without proper resolution. And before I go, you mentioned something about root cause. Sometimes if police have been called upon, Mr. Small, to deal with so many things, you all have to make recommendations to deal with root causes. But good program, Davy. And sir, good to hear you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, a texter sent in a message and says that every day he's by the school and the fights are bad. It's horrible. And by the time the police get there, it's because the kid's gone and it's done. You know, I mean, what can we do? How can we look at a faster response with the police? Is it practical to even have police officers stationed at these schools every day?
Every day, have officers, particularly of the community policing section, patrolling, visiting these schools and that kind of thing. We also have under the Ministry of Education, the school safety officers. And these school safety officers, they have power of arrest, the school security, they precepted, meaning that anything that happened on that estate, on that compound, they have a level of responsibility. They are like an arm of the service, the security officer, the estate constables. They have precept powers, meaning that they have a power of arrest. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead, caller. Sorry about that, Sergeant Small.
Yeah. Good day to you, Mr. Small. Is it that root cause thing? That is, the root cause is the cause. Because during my two sons' school life, they had two minor incidents. And I'm a guy who look at root cause. One of the incidents when he was in first year, second year, right? And the other incident was, all right, when I now start high school. And I know when I did my route investigation. And one of the children, the boy, my mother's working security. So when this poor child, nobody had to pick up from school. So he had to wait. And when I do collect him from school, he can't afford it. Then he had to actually wait until the mother to attend and I shoot him after 8 in the night, from 3 in the evening. That child had no supervision until that time. And the other case was, this guy was living at grandmother, but then their method was like, they only beat any poor child, but had the child kind of mentally degenerate. They think that everything looked like the child the day when I came to the school. The child crying in the office. I mean, it was a minor thing. He and my son had some little squabble, but it was a little minor thing. And the child said, so the root cause, but if you're going to go to the root cause, Mr. Small, it's red roots you got to look for, you know. I mean, the reality is stuck. It's beyond the police, according to the guy. It's beyond the police, you know, the support on the police right now. You know, it's a national challenge that we have. So it one leads to the other. So, and what you're saying to some of these children are very, they have very good potential, but just the potential going in the wrong direction. That is all, the potential going in the wrong direction. That is all the challenge we have in it. Doctor, listen, like.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon again, Davey and Paul. Now, I don't think we should push aside root cause. I think one of the things, she works in the school, but Mr. Small, she said the support, and mind you, might be violence in school is one thing, but you also have student interference by stepfathers and so on in other areas, right? And it's a lot of problems, you know. So people seeing violence and seeing that's one of the problems. Mr. Small, you would know that social worker that works with police, there are a lot of incidents where children are being abused in home by stepfathers and even fathers, and it's been interfered with. That's another problem that doesn't come alive because it's not recorded on social media. So I know there's a lot of work to be done, and I believe social worker working with a group of... you could do it for a two-year period to deal with this in school, and then put structures in place in relation to having people there to deal with it in that, than to having the police overwhelmed with issues of fighting in school and not finding the root cause. It's social worker and people to deal with the issue. Because I'll tell you something, a gentleman called just now and spoke about the denominational schools against government school. And I'm surprised. A man don't know that there's a different approach even to teaching in these different schools. There's a different... When children pass common entrance, you know that 20% is chosen, and the other thing is people who often come from organized home, and yet those schools have problems, but not as how it's reflected on social media for the government school where you're seeing a lot of our people fighting. If you have a problem, so I think the root cause is could be worked on and it could be resolved, but you have to have the heart. Take it easy, gentlemen.
They're now saying here on a text message, I want to thank that caller, Sergeant Small, is saying, I think that the high schools should at risk, the high-risk schools, the Ministry of Education says seek to bolt down these furniture to prevent serious or severe injuries to one's face as a facet of resolving the crime issues in the country. We have another call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to both of you.
Thank you.
So my little take on this whole situation, law should be put in place where the parents of these students should be held accountable and face whatever action there is for the behavior of their children. Because I have three dangerous dogs, and I have to take insurance, heavy insurance on my dog. And if my dog do anything, I, as the owner, will be held responsible. So the parents should be held accountable for their children's action. And that way, I believe, once parents are going to court to face the nonsense that their children doing, then we might see a little decline on this. Thank you.
No, Sergeant Small, I disagree with that.
Mm.
I don't know how you feel about that, but I disagree with that.
Well, for real, because here we're going on. Some of these children, their parents cannot even control them. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something called uncontrollable behavior. If a child, you know, displaying uncontrollable behavior, the parents can take them before the court. You know, we had the children's court now. If you want to see the juvenile courts, we have one in Tobago, one in South Trinidad and one in Port of Spain. And the children's court caters for a parent or the police or a teacher coming before the court, you know, getting a matter to be heard before the court about the child's behavior. And in these matters, the magistrate, you know, puts certain stipulations in place and the children must abide. And if it is they does not abide, it means that they could be placed in a different environment to ensure that they conform to certain rules and regulations. So sometimes the parents have no control, and I have seen it from my own self, and would have advised parents that, you know, bring up their children for uncontrollable behavior on several occasions. So I understand too not all the parents in every situation have full control over the behavior of the children. As I say, there are some people in the communities that are negatively influencing our youths, and they are the ones that kind of inciting these children to behave. They have a mindset, and that's why it's so important to go back to root causes and get the right entities involved, whether it's the social worker, whether it's the mediation centers, whether it's the Ministry of Social Development, nationally, Family Services. We all need to really come together. You know something, I don't see plenty in school again, like when I was going to school, is religious instruction.
All right, where, boy.
You know, a certain time of the day, all right, you had different children, somebody telling them something to really, you know, I think these things so critical that everybody, you know, all hands on deck, because it really takes a village to raise a child.
Indeed, so. I have another call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
No, David, I would, I think the quality is certainly recommending parents, because Mr. Small, you talk about root causes and you talk about all the different associations. That to me, there's no occasion in that to really deal with it immediately. So I believe in the law to deal with parents. Because if your child comes into school and given problems from a broken home, who are we to blame? Because we continue to say that as a parent, there must be some law to make the parents corner that get that now. I know we'll have problem passing it in the parliament. With respect to, you know, that's another story, so I don't want to go there this afternoon. But I'm telling you, one of the things you could get a sunset clause to make parents responsible for the children's action and deal with it from that perspective. Other than that, we just talk about family planning, this and that, and teachers, parents not attending. We have to force parents through the law to get going. And if we can't do that, we just have continuously having conversations, David. I agree with making the parents responsible once they're under 18 years. And before I go, you remember how much problems we had to get the law 18 years and over with respect to interference of children? We almost had problems in the parliament where people know fully well, under the whole question of religion, people like to marry girls under 18 years. That's an issue. So don't get up, you know. There's a lot of problems in our society thing under the law, and we have to deal with it through the parliament. And parents have to, if they are the root causes, brother, let the law reflect on them with a sunset clause. 2 years, and we see what could happen.
I like that. Okay. In a case like that, Sergeant Small, it's an initiative that the government could explore with a sunset clause indeed, you know? But I don't subscribe to say that a parent must pay for the misgivings of a child, given the fact that the police service are now saying that children can be very unruly and parents definitely, some instances, do not have control.
Yeah, and I don't like the word force. We should not force nobody to do nothing. Because anytime you're forcing, the moment that sense of force not present, what will be happening in the absence of that? You want people to understand the importance of good parenting. Understand, for example, the Ministry of Social Development, I must say big up Ms. Kathleen Saka and her team, Mr. Guzman and all of them, and them for the work they're doing in terms of the parenting workshops. They have some virtual parenting workshops that have been taking place. We got our police youth clubs to participate. And I'm sure the country, they have some in-person ones going on and some upcoming. I think I want to encourage, you know, more people to get involved in participating in these type of workshops, because they're really helpful and they give you ways of how you could deal with your children and different forms, different ways that they could discipline them within the confines of the law. And things to really bring about a change in behavior from both the parents and the child. So sometimes the people, I mean children, making children in these times here, and at the end of the day, they do have the experience like the longtime parents and the kind of patience, and you know, there's a lot of things to consider. So we have to really go back to that whole, you know, that is why I keep on saying root causes, because once you're talking root causes, it means that whatever is the right approach, you will identify something, and you know, something that may work, because you're trying a different approach. Nothing with forcing nobody to do nothing, but people must understand that as parents, as children, we have a responsibility to behave a particular way, more so as citizens of a law-abiding country. We have rules and regulations and we must abide by them. People just need to understand that.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. My take on it is to get to the problem as soon as possible. You have your child and the minute they get out of hand, you find that they're not listening to you, take it early. Get to the police, And because if you leave it and it linger on, it will get worse. And then the problem is that the child will start to put up some resistance, start to threaten the parent and all them kind of things. So the earlier you can deal with the problem, I think you have a better chance of, you know, I mean, get straightened out your child.
All right, thank you very much. I sure, Sergeant Small, me making no child and read it. I sure, I am not making no child and fear that child. You know, some parents, boy, I afraid him. You mad or what? I have two sons. You mad? Afraid, you say, you know? Boy, you go kill me. I go dead. I'll get after them.
Hey, Daddy, now here what happening, right? These problems are identified most of the time in the primary school. Né? But due to the physical size of the child, it is kind of, most of the time, it is kind of subdued. And when he reaches the secondary school, and the you know, he feels well, he got a little more braver because of the physical size. Also, what when I went to school, I'm in my 50s now. I remember I went to the St. Marlon Junior High. Just consider when I Rockneck Junior High. Right? And that school, when I went to school, I said, Daddy, I see RI on the timetable. In those days, you used to have each denominational leader coming in and the group in the children once a week or 45 minutes a week. That come up for the syllabus years now, you know, of the government schools, you know. Now the denominational schools still have their regular service, their customary service that they have morning, evening, lunch, grades before me, recess in primary school, grades after me, recess in prayers before we go home 3 o'clock.
I think those practices still happen in the government schools, you know.
Yeah, they still happening, yeah.
Those practices about prayer after school and thing before you dismiss and lunchtime, I think those things still happen.
At somebody primary school, but at the secondary school, at somebody government secondary school, kind of like...
In all honesty, it was never at the government secondary school.
It's that much happening. It's a whole... It's all according to the... Officer, all hands are get on deck. Everybody. We had to just hold on and try and save our nation. Because just so what happened, man. A 5-year-old man between you and Kofi Dong. Next 10 years, I think. Lockdown, listen, bye.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, good afternoon. You have about a minute.
Yeah, Mr. Small, I disagree with the whole question of getting sunset clause to force people to do things there, because I'll tell you something. We have been having moderate conversation without any results, and you're probably in a position to see whether or not we're getting the fruits out of it. Now, my thing is that look at the American system. When people 13 and 14 and started committing crime, they changed the laws to deal with them as an adult. That's forcing the issue. And in Trinidad, you can do that, and you can always go back and revisit the law. But for now, I think you're half one of... We identifying root cause, you know, but we want to deal with it in moderation. No, you have to get strong laws to deal with children and parents in relation to having conduct in school. And if I go, Morales, I think there's a lot of things that we're missing that's still happening in school and we're not paying attention. But I'm telling you, the work right now, where in the modern day of children learning things quickly... You have to get laws to shape them. Other than that, it's just a conversation. Good program, and nice having you, sir. Take care.
All right, Sergeant. Thanks, Small. Man. I mean, as usual, you know, we get the feedback from the listenership telling us, you know, what we want to hear in terms of bettering, some sort of suggestions. And that's what I like about the callers, you know. We may not agree with their suggestions all the time, but
I appreciate them.
We appreciate the thought process put into it, the thoughts behind looking for a solution. Your closing remarks this afternoon, sir.
I want to encourage, you know, both parents, community members, activists, let's all get on board. Let us work together. Don't wait until you see a fight happening in front of school to want to go into that school and do something. I mean, not any and everybody should be going into the school, and that is why I say it should be targeted. And I like the idea of a multi-sector committee, that education multi-sector, that approach we had back in 2017, where we used to have monthly meetings to discuss some of the major issues happening within the Karani district. That was something that we used to do. I think we need to really resume things like that so that we will have, you know, a certain among the stakeholders working together, lazing all the time. Not that it don't happen, but, you know, it needs to happen or continue happening in a more structured way. So I just want to encourage, you know, parents, we won't have all the answers. Sometimes we probably need to participate in a parenting workshop. You know, work with us, let your children, whether it's the Cub Scouts, whether it's the Girl Guides, whether it's the Police Youth Club, let them join some kind of entity that doing positive work so that they will continue being law-abiding and patriotic citizens.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Small. Look forward to seeing you next week, Thursday. Gods be alive, Inside Police and You.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Pleasure.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.